CBSi on the World, I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American Research Professor, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Colombia, a major ally and working together with the U.S. over these last years, a success for security for the region, especially the northern part of the continent, because of the contest with Venezuela. Election results are beginning. There's a presidential election in May, but we've had a primary now, securing the place for the people to watch, the contenders. We've also had a legislative vote that is critical because the legislature will have a great deal of authority, no matter who the president is. Evan, Colombian Senator Gustavo Petro, polls suggest is the favorite to win the May presidential election, has secured the nomination of his coalition, the Historic Pact. Now, in Europe, they called Petro an ex-Marxist guerrilla. I thought that was an unusual combination of events, given that we're in the 21st century. What do we know about Petro then and Petro now for Colombia?
Well, John, as you pointed out, two important things happened in Colombia this past weekend. First, the vote for the legislature, which gives us an idea of the composition of parties that whoever becomes president will have to deal with in governing. And that's a big game changer for Colombia. And second, three of the major political groupings had their essentially primary vote during the same time. And as you pointed out, on the far left, Gustavo Petro won his primary. And so, you know, he will advance in the middle. Sergio Fajardo, that we've talked about previously on this program with the Center Hope Party, won his primary, but with far fewer votes than many people had hoped. Indeed, he actually came in terms of the number of votes behind the person who is number two on the far left, Francia Marquez, indicating that Fajardo in the center are far weaker than many had thought, showing how polarized things have gotten in Colombia. And then on the right, it became clear that the FICO or Federico Gutierrez with Team Colombia will take the banner. So it becomes those three, Petro, Fajardo, and Gutierrez that go forward. And then there are two who didn't subject themselves to primaries. Ingrid Betancourt, formerly kidnapped French Colombian celebrity, and Rodolfo Hernandez, the former mayor of Bucaramanga, on essentially the far right, running on an anti-corruption platform. But for your question, we certainly do know that Gustavo Petro was one of the was an M19 guerrilla. He was pardoned as part of that previous peace accord. Certainly, in statements that he's made, including off the record, which have become public, it's become clear that he continues to have a very radical orientation. Likely, would have had a very different orientation in terms of negotiations with Venezuela and the Maduro regime there. Although it appears that our White House is now going in that direction as well. But Petro probably would have also a different disposition to negotiate, renegotiate, peace with other elements of the FARC dissidents or possibly the ELN. And just in general, would probably have a different orientation towards a range of other actors, such as we've already spoken about, China and others. So while I don't think that U.S.-Colombian security cooperation under President Petro would end tomorrow, it has significant implications for Colombia's relationship with the region, a big game changer. And as we saw at the end of the day, the results of these primaries make it look a lot more likely that it will be at the end of the day, Petro facing off against Gutierrez, kind of a right versus left, like we had in Chile with Boric and Kast. With the likely result right now, it looks like that Petro becomes much more likely that the winner, and actually his party, the Pacto Historic with the Historic Pact, actually did very well in congressional elections, meaning that you could have a possibility of a leftist president with at least a decent sized coalition in Congress to back where he wanted to take the country.
We have about a minute, and Colombia deserves a great deal of attention. The White House has lavished some of it with an announcement in these last days that Colombia, along with Brazil and Argentina, are seen as, quote, major non-NATO allies. What is the significance of that? Is this a tactic now, given the aggression by Russia? Evan, we've got about a minute.
Colombia has long been, going back to a planned Colombia and even before, a key security partner for the U.S. in the region, one of the areas where we have dedicated the most work and resources to helping them succeed. They have helped us in the region through things like Colombia Action Plan. So in many ways, this recognition by the White House was a reaffirmation of the importance that Colombia has at a time in which U.S. administration actions in places like Venezuela and Russian aggression has made Colombia increasingly nervous.
And the situation about Colombia now as a major non-NATO ally, it's had troubles these last years. Is there anything that the U.S. can do to stabilize the protests? We have 30 seconds.
The protests in Colombia will probably continue to expand just because Colombia has been going through quite a bit. And certainly with the elections coming up in May with Petro and Gutierrez, that polarization will probably expand the difficult sentiments that are already there because of the sufferings over COVID, the sufferings some of the fiscal responses that we saw, which really launched things last May in Bogota and then nationwide.
We're going to Venezuela. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.